and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The word of the Lord. Please be seated. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are beloved children gathered to worship you. Keep us attentive to your word and obedient to your will. Help us to get dressed. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. Amen. Oops. Thank you, Maureen. The kids are going to be learning today how to say thank you. I'm not used to that yet. What an honor and privilege it is for me to be amongst you today. It's been 9 years since I've preached here. I think we're getting old together. As many of you know, I am a proud grandma of two beautiful granddaughters, Kaylin and Addison. Kaylin will be turning 3 soon, and with the age of 3 comes the independence of wanting to choose one's clothes. I've got to say, Kay has quite the fashion sense when left to her own devices. She makes some very interesting clothing choices. When Pastor Phil asked me to preach on the lesson from Colossians, I thought, phew, I get one of the easy texts when I get to preach back at home, but is it? This passage is often read at weddings. It's kind of like the recipe card on how to treat your life partner. I think it's a pretty good recipe to share with those who are engaged, just so they know ahead of time what they're getting themselves into. This recipe reads, 1 cup of compassion, 1 cup of humility, 2 cups of kindness, 2 cups of gentleness, 3 cups of patience, 4 cups of forgiveness, 2 tablespoons of the peace of Christ, 2 teaspoons of thankfulness, a pinch of musical praise. Add love till thickened. And bake at 350 degrees for the rest of your lives together. For those who are married, this is a tough recipe to follow some days, isn't it? In the reality of life, aren't there those days where you're finding it hard to even like your spouse, let alone love and forgive them? But this recipe isn't just for couples getting married. It's for all of us. In the verses before our lesson today, Paul was telling the Colossians to put away certain behaviors. He mentioned anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from the mouth, lies. And instead, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forgiveness, and love. Because Christ has put on our flesh, we are being called to put on his. We're being called to make the choice of putting on the clothes of Christ each and every day. So I want to just backtrack briefly with what Paul told the Colossians to strip off first. Anger. If I'm really being honest here, I've had my fair share of anger. I've used not such respectable language when people around me are driving too slow. I've been angry at my boss and my kids when they haven't done things the right way, aka my way. I was really angry at God when Matthew got sick. Can anyone else relate? I sure hope so. And then Paul says, put away wrath and malice. Wrath, malice, these are a lot more nasty than anger. I checked up the definition of wrath, and it's defined as strong, stern, or fierce anger, vengeance or punishment as the consequence of anger. And malice is the desire to inflict injury or harm or suffering upon another person. Well, a month or so ago, a man had attempted to break into our house. And he wasn't successful, fortunately. Morgan was having difficulty sleeping that night, so he was the one who had spotted this fellow shining a flashlight into our basement windows. So Morgan got up, went upstairs, went to our back kitchen door, and he was face to face with the perpetrator. Morgan used some not so good language, and then the man fled. And police were unable to catch him that night. But a couple weeks later, this man tried again, and this time he was successful. A main floor window had been inadvertently left open, and he crawled in. A lot of good our glass-shattering alarms did that night. He managed to grab a wallet, a leather jacket, and all of my keys before exiting out the front door, triggering our alarm. And why he didn't just crawl back out the back window, I have no idea. But I guess it's true that some criminals just aren't that swift. Police were contacted, and he was apprehended, and he spent the weekend in jail. Since then, I have felt a lot of fear and anger. I was glad he was in jail. I was hoping that he would get what was coming to him. And then I thought, if I ever see this man again, or if he ever threatens the safety of my family again, I want to cause him harm. Because he's caused me and my family harm. I've never felt such strong emotion. So I guess one could call this wrath and malice. And then Paul mentions slander, obscene talk from the mouth, and lies. Well, most of us have unfortunately probably worn some of these pieces of clothing. And don't worry, I'm not going to ask you who has worn which one. But I want us to take note of the fact that Paul doesn't dwell on these particular pieces of clothing. Rather, he shifts his focus to a new wardrobe. A wardrobe created just for you, God's chosen one, by the finest designer of all time, Jesus the Christ. Knowing who we want and choose to be, help us to clothe ourselves with behaviors that fit that. Just like ill-fitting clothes can detract from the outside beauty of a person, so do ill-fitting behaviors detract from the image of Christ. When I think of these qualities that Paul has listed, my mind immediately goes to you as a congregation. When Matthew was diagnosed with stage 3 cancer in the fall of 2014, we were dumbstruck. How could this be? He's only 22 years old. Well, the boys and I were sent into a tailspin. And one of the things, though, that helped to slow us down was the heartfelt compassion displayed by pastors Phil and Laura and you as a family of faith. Holy Communion was shared with us in our home. We were surrounded by your prayers and by your food. Does Church of the Cross ever like to cook and bake? We had boxes and boxes and boxes of food being given to us from you to help alleviate the stressor of having to plan meals and buy groceries. And you did the exact same thing for me years before when I had cancer. As a congregation, you have an amazing wardrobe, one that is abounding in compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, forgiveness, and love. I just want you to know that, and to know how thankful my family and I are for you. Is it possible to be the person that Paul is describing to us this morning? It's a tall order to fill. It's possible if that's what we choose. When you get dressed each day, what do you begin with? Well, hopefully your underwear. And if you don't, I don't want to know about that. My mom used to call underwear our foundation garments. I don't know if any of you have heard that before. So when Paul was talking about compassion and humility, he's talking about the foundation garments of life, because these two character traits are fundamental to human relationship. They summarize how we feel deep down inside about each other and about ourselves. Putting on compassion means that we feel with each other. We carry each other's burdens. And humility is how we feel about ourselves. Not negative feelings about ourselves, but a lack of focus on ourselves. Humility will keep us from insisting on our own way. So you know how I said at the beginning of the sermon that I get angry with my boss or kids because they're not doing it my way? Who do you think could use some new Fruit of the Loom underwear? If we don't choose humility and compassion each and every day, we run the risk of losing it. Next, Paul's asking us to put on some basic pieces of work clothing necessary for all Christians: kindness and meekness. I see kindness like that staple pair of worn-in comfy jeans where it has an elastic waistband so that it's not too tight because you've eaten too many Kit Kat bars. And I see meekness like our most favorite sweatshirt. Kindness means at least to be courteous and considerate of others. My mom always used to say, if you don't have something kind to say about someone, don't say anything at all. And if any of us did say some unkind things about people, out came the Irish soap. Now, jeans aren't fancy, but when you think about it, simple kindness will do more to demonstrate the life-changing work of Christ than anything else. I had the wonderful opportunity of recruiting a new volunteer in the suicide bereavement program that I worked in prior to this. This man had lost his teenage son, and he wanted to give back in some way to the program. Well, this volunteer has always gone above and beyond the call of duty more than I've ever seen before. From helping me to carry things from one floor to another, to one-on-one time with a grieving parent, taking out the garbage or walking me to my car at night, his gifts of giving were endless. And so he's one of the kindest and most gentle man I know. And when I told him how exceptional his kindness was, he was so humble in his response, and all he said was, "I just care about people." Kindness and meekness are garments with healing in its wings. And if we don't choose them, we can lose them. And then each day we're supposed to put on the shoes of patience. Our lives are filled with problems. And if you don't have any, can you please talk to me during coffee so that I can figure out how you do that? When we run out of patience with those problems, our relationships can go south very quickly. There are often hurt feelings. We get irritable, cranky, just not a pleasure to be around. Paul is telling us to put on the shoes of patience and keep walking with each other, even when it feels like we're in an endurance race. Because if we don't choose patience, we can lose it. And just because we humans can so easily annoy each other, we need to carry a full wallet or handbag of forgiveness. Realistically, we can't stop from ticking each other off, but we can decide how we're going to respond to someone when he or she does. The spirit of forgiveness makes difficult things endurable and sometimes even erases them. There's that line in the old movie Love Story that got far too much attention. And that line was, "Love is never having to say, I'm sorry." This is likely one of the most not-so-smart things that I have ever heard. Because love is to be always ready to say, "I'm sorry." Recently had coffee with someone who said that she was always afraid to have certain conversations with her stepdaughter. And I asked why, and she said that she felt like she was walking on eggshells around her, always worried that she was going to say something that really upset her. You see, if her stepdaughter wouldn't tell her that she was upset, instead she would go home and write a 3-page email that was just vicious. And then she would proceed to not talk to her stepdaughter for a month or two. So this is not a good recipe for conflict. We are going to hurt each other, but we have a choice in how we're going to respond to the person who has hurt us. We can choose to forgive or not. And the final article of clothing that Paul mentions is the overcoat of love. We would never think to walk out of the house in December when it's minus 25 outside without having our winter jackets on. But yet we so often leave our houses each day not feeling blanketed by love or not being able to give love to those around us. We simply can't put on any other articles of Christian clothing if we don't have that love of Christ in our hearts. In contrast to the heretical teachers who were leading the Colossians astray, Paul is trying to tell them that the main thing that you need for Christ-like living is not a deep philosophy or secret knowledge or a list of rules. The main thing you need for Christ-like living is love. The Beatles, they had it right when they sang, "All you need is love." Christ's love breaks down walls. Christ's love heals hurting hearts. Christ's love surpasses any judgments. Christ's love transform lives. It's that simple. So is this such an easy text after all? I don't think so. It's one that it's the hardest for me to live by some days, as you now know by my confessions. But finally, following the description of the actions that the Colossians should try to do, Paul takes them back to his first subject, which is Christ. And he's encouraging the Colossians to let Christ and his wardrobe accomplish two things in their lives. One, they're supposed to allow the peace of Christ to reign over their hearts, not just as individuals, but over the heart of their congregation, because the "your" here in this text is plural. This congregation came from a variety of backgrounds. So Paul was wanting them to each work through their stuff so that they could be one body in Christ, to which they were called. And then secondly, he wanted the word of Christ to live amongst them richly. When the story of God gets rooted in the life of a community, like it is here, when this narrative determines their behavior, they will be able to teach and correct one another wisely with their newfound compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, forgiveness, and love. What you wear each day is your choice. Because Christ has put on our flesh, we are being called to choose to put on his. So have fun in Christ's closet, for he is the best designer, bar none. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Jesus Christ, our Lord.